edition of The Skeleton Debates, Utopia's very own college football podcast. I am your host, Christopher White, also known as WhiteyC77, there on the website. Joining us here on the podcast for a second consecutive week is going to be Bruin228, or Jordy. And this week joining us, a new podcaster and prognosticator, MSU Fanatic, joining us as well. So we'll get a chance to allow him to introduce himself in just a moment. As we get into it this week, we're going to have a very similar format to last week, try to bring you some new things on a week-to-week basis, and make sure we keep you guys up to date with not only what's going on in college football, but also as it relates to Utopia, trying to work in some nice memes from the website. So as we get things kicked off this week, Jordy, we'll start it off with you. Let's kick it off with Chase's bandwagon, and this is going to be your updated playoff participants. Of course, we talked about last week your projected Final Four, but now that week one is in the books, have you adjusted your expectations, and what does your Final Four look like now?
Yeah, I think I've adjusted a few of them. Florida State, I think, is still there just because of, they looked, struggled a little bit with Oklahoma State, but how bad Clemson looked, Miami didn't look very good. You know, maybe we're talking about Louisville as the only kind of contender in the ACC to kind of battle that with Florida State, and I don't think that they're Louisville's there yet. So I still have Florida State there. Oregon's still there. They didn't play anybody really week one, but they did what they had to do. They blew them out. And then Alabama, I think I'm going to take out, and I'm going to buy into the hype right now and take A&M for that SEC spot. Alabama's secondary just looked really porous against West Virginia, a West Virginia team that went 4-8 last year. I think it was like the second or third most yards that Alabama team under Saban has ever given up passing was. So that doesn't look good going forward against a team like A&M or even a team like Auburn or Mississippi State, some of those spread up tempo teams that have given Saban and Alabama a lot of trouble over the years. And then for my Big 12 team, I know Oklahoma didn't look bad or anything, but how Baylor played, especially when Petty was in the game, I think this has me put them in the fourth spot instead of Oklahoma.
Nice job. Way to jump on board with Whitey and make sure you get Baylor in that Final Four where they belong. All right, MSU, let us know, after week one, what does your Final Four look like?
I think you still got to keep Florida State in the number one spot until they lose something. I can't take them out of the top four. It's their defense looked a little porous, and Jameis Winston certainly didn't put up the completion numbers and touchdowns like he normally does, but he certainly showed a little bit more effort with his feet, which was pretty impressive. And I don't know if they were overlooking him or whatever, but it was a good game. I think I'm going to stick with Alabama, even though West Virginia did give him a run for their money. I think West Virginia is probably going to be a little bit better than people think. Probably going to have to stay with Oregon with Jordy, only because, they did blow out a South Dakota team, and I'm sure we will see what happens with them this weekend when they play Michigan State. And number four, I got to stay Homer and put Michigan State in there to represent the Big Ten.
All right, and my Final Four, obviously you guys have named many of the contenders, but interesting to not hear the name Georgia get brought up after their performance that they had in week one. Obviously a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football, especially in the backfield. What impressed me the most was on defense, and what an amazing turnaround it was going from Grantham over to Pruitt. You can really tell a difference when you've got the better defensive coaches in there, shutting down a Chad Morris offense, limiting them to 15 yards in the second half and only one first down. Georgia may very well be legit, and outside of a trip to Columbia in 2 weeks where they take on the Gamecocks, who certainly struggled on Thursday night, their schedule really sets up well because the rest of the tough games are going to be at home, including Auburn, where they'll get a chance to face them between the hedges in a game that they should have won last year on the road. So I'm going to stick with Baylor. I'll keep them in the Final Four. Michigan State, also going to have Georgia in my Final Four, and the fourth team that I'm going to have in, I'm actually going to call Stanford to make the Final Four. I think Stanford's going to win the Pac-12 and is going to be the team that winds up making their way into the championship this year. So now we will move on to what I feel is going to be my favorite segment of the week, but I'm a bit biased, is let's take a look back at the previous week in a segment that we call Mame's Mockery, where we're going to find the one thing most worth mocking in college football from this past week. MSU will allow you to kick this one off. What do you want to mock from college football this past week?
You know, I think I'm gonna mock College Game Day this weekend. If anyone has been watching it, I mean, ESPN Productions obviously is taking a downturn for the worse, and Game Day certainly kicked that one right off this weekend at 9 a.m. first with basically absolutely no substance in that program throughout the entire 2 hours, and then changing our favorite introduction to any College Game Day with the Big and Rich song was completely terrible. And then with the mean tweets by coaches, which thought was somewhat interesting, not really that funny, but just a blatant rip from Jimmy Kimmel. So I'm going to have to go with College Game Day on the biggest mockery of the week.
All right, Jordy, what do you have as your biggest mockery of week one?
Is it really Mame? Because I always thought it was Mame.
Let's go with Mame for now, and then we'll wind up having it corrected, I'm sure, by somebody on Utopia.
It's definitely Mame.
My whole world has just turned upside down.
About, whatever pronunciation makes the least amount of sense is probably what it is.
Well, I have two, if that's okay. First, I'm gonna keep it close to my reading interests and put UCLA's offense on the spot. You know, UVA's defense is not as bad as that 2-10 record from last year showed. They have a lot of talent, and that defense was the bright spot from their team last year. Their offense was just really bad, but to put up only one offensive touchdown, I think it was like well under 400 yards. Repeatedly get blown up at the line. Hundley got sacked, I think, 7 times or something like that. Against a UVA team that went 2-10 last year, when you're a top 10 team and supposed to be a conference and national contender, is just embarrassing, frankly. And I don't know how many times we're going to have to watch Mazzoni throw out those 1 yard swing passes to his running backs that can't seem to do anything with them before he finally changes up his offensive scheme, but hopefully soon if the Bruins are going to do anything this year. And then my second one is going to be Vanderbilt, which is right across the street from where I am right now. I mean, to take what Franklin had built that year and just get blown out by Temple at home is just frankly embarrassing, and kind of captures that Vanderbilt is always just going to be a bottom dweller, it seems like, in the SEC.
And think about it for a second with that Temple-Vanderbilt game. It wasn't a game that many people watched because obviously the weather caused it to be really late there on Thursday night.
Right.
Temple went 2 of 17 on third down in that game and won by 30 points. That is unbelievable to try to combine those two things together. For my mockery of the week, oh, there's so many things to choose from. You've got Urban Meyer taking his Prilosec OTC and getting past his chest pains and struggling on the road against Navy. And
don't forget his anxiety.
You've got Nick Saban, of course, struggling against an up-tempo offense that he wants to get banned out of college football. But for me, my mockery of the week has to be the entire state of South Carolina. Are you kidding me with the performance from those two teams that are playing in the quote-unquote Power 5 conferences? Thursday night, everybody watching, kickoff of the SEC Network, and South Carolina comes out and lays a complete dud as a near double-digit favorite. And then, to top it off, the icing on the cake, to watch the vaunted Clemson Tigers defense completely get shredded in the second half against Georgia, to watch that high-powered offense that nobody was going to be able to stop, just get smacked in the face by a Georgia defense that might or might not actually be good. I think I'm supposed to consult a doctor because this raging erection has lasted for longer than 4 hours now after watching those two teams struggle mightily. So it was awesome watching those two teams fall flat on their face with everybody watching, and hopefully shuts up all the hillbillies that I have around me here in the upstate of South Carolina. So, moving on, let's now jump into our Dirt's Choke of the Week, the team most likely to be upset this week. Jordy, who do you have your eye on, and who are you putting on upset alert?
Well, this isn't a huge upset by any means, but I'm just going to start with some numbers here. 59 points, 702 total yards, and 569 passing yards. That's what Western Kentucky did last week to Bowling Green. So, and considering Illinois' performance against Youngstown State last week, I think I'm going to have to put the Fighting Illini on upset alert. They didn't show me anything really that positive outside of West Lunt's play in that game against an FCS team. And Western Kentucky's certainly got a lot of offensive firepower, judging from this game. So they're going to be my pick for the upset of the week.
All right, MSU, who are you seeing as being the team that may struggle this week from a favorite position?
You know, as much as it's going to pain me to say this, I think Notre Dame needs to be on all eyes when going against Michigan this weekend. I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be high-powered offenses. We'll see if anyone can stop anyone. Seems like it may be a lot like that game under the lights, I believe 3 years ago now. Denard Robinson and Notre Dame, it seemed like every 5 seconds there was a 40-yard blown coverage pass going for a touchdown. We'll see what happens with Notre Dame. They sure look good with Everett Golson back there. See if Michigan can keep on the offense. I think they give them a run for their money down in South Bend.
All right, and for me, for my upset alert of the week, it's actually a larger line that I'm going to jump on for this week, but I really like Old Dominion going on the road to play NC State this week. Even though it's a 17-point spread, we saw NC State struggle last week with Georgia Southern. Old Dominion, although a different type of offense, certainly is going to stress the Wolfpack offensively, just like Georgia Southern was able to do. And I think the 17 points are high, and I really see this coming down to a final possession either way. It may come down to who has the ball last. NC State certainly didn't look impressive on the offensive side against Georgia Southern. And Old Dominion, one of those teams that can definitely move the football, have an excellent system there. I kind of like Old Dominion to spring the upset against NC State. So that is my Dirt's Choke of the Week. So now we will move on to Southpaw's Meat, the most delicious line of the week. MSU, I know you're putting Southpaw's Meat in your mouth. What's your most delicious line of the week?
I don't even know where to begin with that one. You know, MSU at Oregon, what is it? You said 13 points right now. That game's going to be a three-point game. I just do not see either team going out there and blowing out one another. If it does happen, I would be absolutely shocked. As shocked as I would be if Mame and his wife actually, you know, did something together romantically. So, you know, I just see Cook, Mariota. You're going to have two of the best passers in the country against each other. You're having the MSU number one rated defense from last year going up against the number one rated offense from last year, seeing if they can slow down that attack. I think the big key is, can Michigan State actually slow them down? We looked a little vulnerable on the defensive front seven this past weekend against JSU, who had a couple quarterbacks that did some spread option-like things. So we'll see if they can go against a quarterback that's, you know, much better than a JSU team.
All right, Jordy, tell me about how delicious Southpaw's Meat is, and what is your selection of the week?
All right. I mean, this one just really jumped off the page at me. 24 Missouri at Toledo is only a 3.5 line right now. I know Missouri didn't look too great their first week, and Toledo is always kind of one of those, I guess, non-Power 5 teams that that can cause some problems for people. But 3.5 is just awfully low for me against a Missouri team that will have a lot of offensive firepower and is well coached. I just don't see it staying that close.
All right, and I'll give you two. I'm going to go with Kansas State minus 12.5 against Iowa State. An Iowa State team that, quite frankly, to call it a horrible performance last week doesn't even do it justice. And a Kansas State team that I expect to exceed their expectations this year. I love Kansas State only laying 12.5 on the road going to play at Iowa State. And we already touched on one of these teams earlier in talking about a really what an almost fluky performance it was they had in game one. I'm going to take Navy on the road, laying 3.5 points against Temple. Temple, that performance they put together last week, a lot of folks are going to see the final and assume that Temple has improved. I'm not so sure that's the case. Again, when you go 2 of 17 on third down against Vanderbilt, that doesn't tell me a whole lot about what you're able to do offensively. Navy's not going to turn it over 7 times like Vanderbilt did, excuse me. And I just don't see how Temple's going to be able to keep this within a touchdown. I think Navy's the more disciplined team, and I think they easily cover that line as well. Those are your two most delicious lines of the week, which then leads us to the Irishman's swinger line of the week. This is going to be a game that has a more narrow line to it and really could go either way. So, Jordy, as you take a look at the lines this week, what's one of those games that really could go either way, and give us your breakdown on it?
So I'm going to go with my man, Mike Leach. Taking, you know, Washington State over Nevada. It's at a 3.5-point game right now. Washington State's defense looked terrible last week against Rutgers, obviously. But their offense was on point. Halliday threw for 532 yards, 5 touchdowns. I think he's going to be one of the most improved players, not only in the Pac-12, but in the country this year. And Nevada, I mean, they've always had some good quarterbacks. Cody Fajardo is there this year. But they only put up less than 30 points against Southern Utah last week. So I'm not sure that they have the offensive firepower to keep up with the Cougs this week.
All right, MSU, which games got you swinging this week?
I mean, you got to be looking probably at the number 14 USC Trojans going against Stanford this weekend at 3:30. The line right now looks like 2.5-3 points. That game, although I think Stanford pulls it out at home with the debating whether or not Steve Sarkisian is a racist, we'll see what happens. I really think that game could go either way. Whoever has more white players wins.
Go Team Honky. So, really, obviously, there are three games that everybody's going to be taking a look at this week, and all eyes are going to be on. Of course, you guys mentioned USC Stanford. We already talked about Oregon and Michigan State, and also with the Michigan Notre Dame game. A game that may kind of be under the radar, but really could go a long way in determining who some of the New Year's Day 6 bowl participants are. Is going to be taking place on Saturday night between BYU and Texas. That spread only 1.5 points, the game being played in Texas. That's a game that I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, Texas last year had no answer for Taysom Hill. It was fun watching him run all over the place. I don't have the exact yardage in front of me, but it was roughly a bajillion yards that he ran for against the Texas defense. And, of course, he's back this year. Texas now with Charlie Strong as their head coach, a defensive-minded coach. Will they be able to slow down that Cougars attack? Texas, of course, having issues with their starting quarterback, David Ash, along with, I believe it was their center, that had a broken ankle. So some issues for Texas going into this game, and really that's going to be a very interesting matchup. The winner of this game could go on to a 9 or 10 win season, whereas the loser could wind up spiraling out of control as there's still a handful of difficult games on both of their schedules. So it could go a long way in determining who's going to get into those New Year's Day 6 rotation of games. And I'm going to take Texas at home, even though they're laying 1.5 and have a lot of things going against them. I think the home crowd will be too much, and I think that Charlie Strong will come up with some way to be able to contain Hill. So I'm going to take Texas in a very, very narrow game to defeat BYU. So that is going to do it for us. That's an abbreviated version of the Skeleton Debates this week. Of course, we want to encourage those of you that are listening, if you would like to jump in With any future podcast, of course, let us know in the thread. Also, any topics you'd like to see discussed in upcoming episodes, don't hesitate to let us know as well there in the thread. We always appreciate the feedback. So thank you so much for listening in for MSU and also for Jordy, also known as Bruin. Thank you all so much for listening to the Skeleton Debates. And remember, do not arm wrestle toddlers.